up to my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Fashion Furniture across from River Park and by Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC.
Swung on, hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes.
It's Friday, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
You are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, thanks for hanging out with us. The fastest growing afternoon show there is on the planet. Of course, the zone here on 940 ESPN, your central section leader. We are live right here. Here at the beautiful Fashion Furniture 940 ESPN Studios. And you haven't seen this place. Nick Anderson, Rocky Balboa in the house, the Pag Meter, Matt Johnson on his way in. Is this the greatest little studio ever?
Well, you can't. Don't come in here unless you plan on wanting to spend a couple of hours because it's so big and there's so many wonderful things to choose from that, you know, we always talk about gravitating over to the lounge chairs because that's what you do best on weekends.
Heck,
you just
yeah.
Sit around. So they've got these massagers going. You got that. You got the beds next door, the mattresses, the tables. And the best part about this place, Nick, is what? It's the service. It's the people here. It's the experience that goes along with the quality of furniture they have here. They've got multiple people with so much experience that can give you what you need to provide a great environment at your home.
If you have to go to a furniture store and there's a giant bunny rabbit out there in a bunny suit and he's pointing the signs, come on in, half price, do not go in because they're either going to be out of business or they want to sell you crap.
And it might just be you.
That's not bad. You know, if Rod ever needs me to have a bunny suit out in front, I would love it.
I think Rod would really be looking to retire before he puts you out front in a bunny suit, Pegs.
That would be a lot of fun. But even when you get to the recliner section, there's still another 100,000 square feet past that. It is, just goes on and on.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's like, can you imagine this? It's like a place you could put, like, how many basketball courts could you fit in here, Nick, if the ceiling was higher than what it is? I'd say probably, gosh, I don't even know, 10?
Yeah, this is way bigger than Selling Arena. It just seems like it just goes on.
Beautiful.
And then if you need a mattress, Mikey Boom Boom Mancini Dupree next door will take care of you. They got Moe's on the latest furniture that, you know, Kim Kardashian has it in her house. Next door, Moe's has it. So it's all right here, Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. I do want to thank Mario Vitucci at the Chico's. We got the rigatoni mushrooms today, the salad with chicken in it, bread. What do you think?
Best food ever. Best food for us. It's great during the winter months to come in here and have that selection sitting over there, Pags, because what's coming up next is what you do best. You get out and about. You go to get spend time over in Reedley. You go to Kingsburg. You go to the West Side. You spend some time in the track, and you don't have time to eat. So
no.
It's great that you have that here before you head out.
The Chico's, of course, Mario Vitucci, downtown to visit Dura Blackstone. He's also on Shaw and First, Shaw and Van Ness, and Kings Canyon and Clovis Avenue. Matty J is on his way in. We're going to be broadcasting a huge one tonight. Two of the, I think, the best coaches in the state with Adrian Wiggins and Vance Wahlberg going to square off at the Eagles Nest, Clovis West versus Clovis East. It doesn't get any better than that. Preview maybe of the section championship.
Man, it's every night's going to be a battle, you know, and it doesn't matter who it is. It's just these teams have played against each other and these kids have played against each other for so long that it's great. It's a great environment. No soft-skinned people, though, you know, Nick. You can't have soft skin and be in those gyms. You got to be able to handle a little bit of abuse from time to time, and some of those folks get a little soft from time to time out there, and that's fine, but we'll just chuckle about that, huh, for a second.
What are you saying? What are you getting at?
No, it's just a great environment. I think it's great high school basketball. And, you know, you mentioned some things the other day about, you know, we were looking at, administration, student sections, and because of all these rivalries, and it's so wonderful to see so many schools that have these student sections showing up because it's a challenge for these kids in some cases to show up. They're trying to entice these kids to come into these games with I'm noticing now, earbuds and iPhones, and they're donated by parents, and, you know, 18 pizzas for the first whoever comes into the game. And I think that's great. Different ways to market, you know, similar to what you and I talked about with Fresno. You know, how do you get butts in the seats, if you will? So the student section's a bit wonderful. I mean, I've seen good participation. In some cases, better student sections than we saw during the football season on some of these larger schools. And you have such a great venue in football in this area. And when you don't have that amount of people that show up, it definitely shows, you know. So if you're – but you got to let these kids let their hair down a little bit, roll up their sleeves, and participate in the game a little bit more. And I worry about that, Nick, because that environment is so good. And sometimes people get a little excited out there. But when you start putting handcuffs on people, then people say, well, I just don't have – I got other things to do besides go to a game if I can't really enjoy the game. And I'm not talking about using profanity and things like that. I'm saying, hey, you should be able to say – you, whatever, as long as you're using the right word, if they are going to regulate you and tell you what you can and what you can't say, to me that becomes kind of a, I don't know, what would you say? A little bit kind of a...
Handcuffed.
I know there's a lot of rules when it's in some of these school districts, and I don't know. I mean, I worry about that. I watch a lot of games, and I get to see a lot of kids having fun, and if they don't have fun, then they don't come. That's my opinion.
Well, I think what Nick is saying, I tweeted it out the other day. I watched Clovis North play Clovis West, and I don't know if this is around the other sections, but there was two administrators not watching the game, but they're watching the student section. And I was kind of, that's weird. And I started, this is about the third time I've seen it. I've been to Bullard. I go to Kingsburg, like you said, Memorial. I have never seen an administrator just look at the crowd and go, shh, go there.
What game is this?
This was Clovis North versus Clovis East on a Tuesday night.
Oh, this past Tuesday.
This past Tuesday. And so this is about the 10th time I've seen it. And I'm trying to figure out, and all of a sudden I put it on Twitter. I go, ask you, is this the new thing? Why come kids can't be kids? And boom, I got a ton of messages on here, and people want to know. You can call in as well, 844-940 ESPN, because if I'm a kid, and I don't know, is it free for kids or they have to pay $4?
Hey.
So if I'm a kid and I have to pay money, and you're going to tell me to shut up, I'm not going.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know how. There's plenty of things out there to do, right? So if you got to, you know, encourage these kids by giving free things away to get them in the building, then you're putting handcuffs on all of them when they get in there. It's tough. And again, that's the best part of, if you ask the players that are on the court, they're playing, if any of these administrators ever maybe played sports before, which most of them probably haven't, then they probably don't understand what it means to compete on the court. And they like the kids, these players like a lot of environment that's able to pump them up and get them going. Regardless if you're at a different school and you have a student section that's all up in you, I think some of these players love that. If you ask them and say, would you rather play in front of a group like that or not play at all in front of anybody, just a bunch of parents that don't say anything. And that's another thing. Most of these parents that go to these games, they just sit there. They don't clap or anything. Then you get a few that clap and have a good time, everybody freaks out.
Yeah, they were freaking out with you last week, and there's no doubt about it. We'll talk about that if you want.
Oh, they always freak out with me. That's old news, yeah. Man. That's old news. Who cares?
So my question, and I totally apologize to Buchanan and Clovis North and even Clovis West student sections during football, because I was on you guys hard because there wasn't a lot of people showing up to the games. And now I know why. Why am I going to go to a game if I'm going to have an administrator look right at us and yell at us if we get a little loud? That would never happen. I don't know who started this, and I'm totally against it. If you can't be a kid at a game, I have to go all day at school. I have to do this and do. I'm at the game. I want to have some fun. And you're going to tell me I can't be loud? Isn't that a home court advantage? Isn't that part of nature?
Now, being loud in a right way or there's a wrong way, if there's two ways of being loud, right?
So, I've never heard a problem ever before about being loud.
I think profanity might factor into this a little bit. And I don't agree with that. It can't be a place. There's no place for profanity in terms of the kids. Now if I do that, that's fine because I'm an adult. I'm going to do it if I want to. I'm not going to yell at people at it. But if I say something, that's going to be me. I don't do that. People might accuse people of doing that. Kids, I think the administration needs to control that. That should be something they control, and I'm all about that part.
I just don't understand why you have to have two administrators looking up the whole game.
Well, it's like assistant coaches. Why do you have to have 10 versus 4?
I don't know.
Because you can?
Your budget's bigger than mine.
Maybe.
And I want to talk about that today because, you know, we got the cheating scandal going on with the Astros and the Red Sox, and I heard yesterday even on our station how it's wrong. Of course it's wrong. I never said it was wrong. I never said it was right. What I said is everyone's doing it, and I think it's going to start coming to the surface that these teams, once there's a like a whistleblower, there's going to be more whistleblowers. I can't believe it's taking this long, because if Nick Anderson is in the bullpen on one team and you get traded to another team, you don't think you're talking?
Oh, it's been going on forever.
That's what I'm trying to say. So I'm never going to endorse it. Now people say, well, how come it didn't happen last year when Houston was in the World Series? Because there's another team that got smarter now. You got to be smarter with your signals in any sport, because people are trying to pick you off. That's just how life in a nutshell.
Yeah.
So I'm not endorsing cheating, but what I'm saying is everybody cheats, even in high school when you're not supposed to recruit. People recruiting, college. I'm sure there's money going around for some of these big time college players. I'm sure there's colleges helping kids get grades. It is happening. I'm not endorsing it, but you got it. We live in the real world. Stop it already if you don't think that's happening.
Oh well, I mean, but it's news. It's news. So whatever news is, and then people gravitate toward that, and then people start talking about it. And the majority of people are talking about it have no idea what they're talking about. They're reading other people's stuff, right? So they don't have that information firsthand. It's kind of like the Mountain West, for example, in women's basketball, for example. I mean, you know, I've been to every venue in the Mountain West. I have season tickets to the women's basketball games. I have season tickets to the men's basketball.
You're an expert.
I go to more games, and I have been going to those games for years. So I kind of think that maybe I get around a little bit, but I don't read articles about what, you know, sports writers think about this. I get to witness these teams firsthand. I get to watch them in person. And some folks only get to watch these type of teams when they come and play here locally. I'm fortunate to be able to go to other venues and watch these teams. And boy, if you haven't watched the Mountain West women's basketball lately,
is it
good? And haven't seen what the Fresno State women's basketball team is about right now, man, people aren't talking about the women's basketball team here. We talk about the men a lot, but the women are exciting to watch. I got to watch them firsthand recently when they went over to San Jose and played a great San Jose State team. And for those of you folks out there that really don't pay attention to the Mountain West Conference much on the women's side and only think that Boise State, maybe one other school, can actually play, San Jose State's in second place. They've only lost one game, and that's to Fresno State. That's how good of a program San Jose has. And it's fun because San Jose State and Fresno State's a rivalry. Fresno State beat San Jose State that night. And I'm telling you, that team at Fresno State is made up of some great girls, man. They fight. The twins are wonderful. They play very well. They're very balanced. They pass the ball. They move. They play a hard defense. And they're excited to watch. I got to admit to you, Nick, and it's fun to see. It's fun to see San Jose playing. But just want to remind you folks out there that have been in California long enough to understand the rivalry between San Jose State and Fresno State. It's fun to watch those two teams. So if you haven't seen San Jose, they're coming to the Save Mart Center. For those of you that don't understand who San Jose State is, I welcome you to sit up in the suite with me and watch that game side by side.
Wow, that's an invitation right there.
Yes.
And if you have any questions, you can always call our show. Call JoJo in the studio, 844-940-ESPN. I want to know what you guys all think, because I'm not endorsing cheating, but I think a lot of people cheat in every sport. And the Astros got red-handed caught. There's no doubt about it. The Red Sox, I think other teams, it's going to start coming out now. This is just the beginning of baseball. And I think when you start throwing your own under the bus, it's not a good sign.
So we can have any managers left after this whole thing's over with?
Well, they're not going after any players, but they're sure they don't want to take the product off the field. They're going to take care of the managers,
so,
apparently.
With all this going on, do you feel like they should be terminated?
No.
So you think they should be penalized?
I think they should be penalized.
Fined, penalized, maybe sit out the first 20 games. How does the team think about that? How does the front office think about their manager being penalized and they can't manage the team for 20 games? Does that put them in a hardship situation so then they have to act accordingly? I mean, those are the type of things, the backlash that comes from that, if you only penalize them.
I think baseball, they're doing this on purpose because they don't want to hear it. that the fan, hey, we took care of the manager. We got rid of him. So I don't want to hear it. You want to still come in. We're taking care of our team, so please still support us. That's what their line is. And I could see that. I could see that. We got Frank. Frank, you are in the zone.
Hey, Frank. Hey, Nick. This is Frank Rodriguez, and I played against you back in the 70s.
Right.
Yeah. You were a great quarterback back then.
I'm sure you nailed me. I'm sure I threw 3 interceptions, Frank. Come on, be nice.
I got through a couple times, played nose guard.
There you go. All right.
I wanted to make a comment about the Bill Sharman gym, Porterville High School.
Okay.
Great, a great student section. And the players feed off that.
See that? That's a home court advantage, huh?
Exactly. And if you've ever been there, it's not a big place. It's an old stadium, gym. But the players feed off that. And Coach Wallace has always had a pretty decent program there at Porterville.
So if you think about that for a second, and I totally, this is Nick Anderson, by the way, I agree with you. And if you look at the gym size and take a look at a Duke and compare what you just described down there, so that's why Duke doesn't build anything bigger that they're in, because they want that environment. If you look at the WCC and college basketball today and look at the size of their gymnasiums, they fill those gymnasiums because they want that environment. It fuels, they recruit better that way, they bring the kids into that environment. So you're exactly right. So at the high school level, those are experiences these kids were going to take with them for years and years down to come. And it's better basketball for everybody.
Hey, Frank, do they have an administrator looking at the students in Porterville?
No, they do not. They totally support the fan base and the student section. I mean, they have signs, they get crazy, and they love it.
I don't understand. Yeah, that's great, and I love Porterville. It's one of the best home field, home court in any sport out there. You guys really support your Panthers, and I love that. So that's beautiful, and they're on fire. Porterville's playing good basketball, really well. Boys and girls.
Definitely. And then on the second point, when you talk about stealing signs, I coached softball for girls. I used to have coaches just get irate with me because I would steal their signs. The guy's sitting on a bucket right there in the opening, and he's signaling, pitches and hey, hide him. I mean, yeah. I was fortunate to have a good catcher that called all of our pitches. I didn't have to worry about it. She knew our pitchers and. She was good at it.
So, yeah, again, Frank, I think that's 100% correct. If you are that dumb and whip, I can pick your signals off, is that my fault or your fault? I think it's your fault.
That's right.
Yeah, that's part of nature.
Part of the game.
Yes.
But what about the electronic reporting and all that?
But you still change your signals.
I get that. But, okay, but so is that just – it's okay to have the – if you're creative and you're out there running around, baseball's kind of a cool sport, right? It's always been that way. But if you start using technology, which we've evolved to where we are in terms of social media and everything else that's out there, is it okay to do it that way?
Well, what I'm saying is Frank's pitching to me and Frank threw a 98-mile-an-hour fastball underneath my hands and I still crushed it. If Frank's smart, he'll say, you know what? I just threw my best pitch. How did he turn on my 98-mile-an-hour fastball? Let's change our signal just in case. I would change it right there. I'm not going to wait 162 games to go, this is strange. Boy, they know everything is coming. This is what I don't understand. Yeah. So, Frank, you're on my page. Yeah.
Just want to let you guys know, love you guys' show. I listen to the Rise Show all the time. I've been with Strathmore for the last 9 years on their football program and as a coach and now as just one of their volunteer. I do stats, for the program, and we've had a great run, and it's just a great place to coach.
Frank, you got to give Jeremy a high five for me. I love Strathmore. I was out there last week, and that is a great little stadium. When it's Friday night, everything shuts down to go see the Spartans play. I love that.
Yeah, it's a great little community. I mean, you're talking, blue collar, students that their parents work, but they support their kids. It's a small stadium, but you know, it's our home, and it's a great place to play. And we have one of the best coaching staffs, I believe, as far as, you know, in the Valley. And Jeremy's a great coach. He's so enthusiastic. He's always been that way. And I don't know how he does it, running up and down the sideline like he does, but he just shows that enthusiasm, and it comes out in his players.
I'd love to come out and broadcast a game next year. I'm dying to get to Strathmore and do a Friday Night Lights game. That'd be fun.
That'd be great. We'd appreciate that.
All right, Frank. We'll have a great weekend and continue. Call in again. We love you. We love your call.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
See, I would say, Nick, not most, but baseball people understand if you're, you know, you got to change your signals over and over again. And Matt's now in the house. He just took up 14 pounds of DeChico's pasta right there. I don't know how's that little plate fit all that, Nick? You all right, Nick?
He's shaking his head. Yeah. I'm looking at him, man. I'm in shock and awe right now looking at the mound of food that's on Johnson's plate. But he's a big boy. You know, anybody that played for the USC, you know, I mean, they're gonna probably devour some food. In better terms of that is Hondo. Getting back to the caller, then we'll take a short break here in a few minutes. But, man, I tell you what's nice to hear is the amount of emails that you get. But I really enjoy when people call in and talk about the show and how much they enjoy listening to you guys and us as well on a Friday here. Of course, the Rise Show being on Thursday and the Zone being on Friday. And it's nice. Local sports just – I just love it. There's nothing better than local sports. Talking about local sports, having the three of us together with Matt back in the house and having this three amigo concert, if you really want to call it something, it's fun. So let's grab a break and come back, and Matt will be done with his rigatoni, and we'll move on.
Yeah, I don't think he will be, but he can talk and eat. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture. I do want to thank Helena Agri Enterprises. If you're a grower out there, and it's raining last night, boy, it rained pretty good, and it's cold out there. And maybe you want to figure out why those trees are going to be happening soon, because it's going to start getting sunny. Nick, call 559-261-9030. Miss Tiffany will answer the phone and direct you to whatever your farmer's at, because they can go from here to the end of east.
Everywhere.
But the east part of the United States, if you had to. Boy, I got it.
That's okay. Right, we there. Understand.
We'll take a break. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You
are in the Zone
on a Friday afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us, making your Friday on the way home. Take your time. There's traffic out there. It's the PAG meter. It's Nick Anderson, Matty J walking in soon. He's enjoying the DeChicos from downtown at Divisadero Blackstone. Mario Vitucci did a great job today. What a spread with the rigatoni, some mushrooms, little chicken in it, the chicken salad. Come on down to Fashion Furniture if you have, maybe you want to have an early dinner. And if you don't want to cook out tonight, get it to go. DeChicos, Blackstone, Divisadero. We also Blackstone and Shaw, Blackstone Van Ness, and Kings Canyon, Clovis Avenue. Mario Vitucci, one of the good guys. And Helena, and of course, Fashion Furniture here. Guys, I'm driving down the freeway. If you know what I'm talking about right now on 41. I just got to throw this out here. They're starting to put, there's people living on the side of the bank, embankment now.
Yeah, funny you say, I was coming back from Vegas today, right? So I'm coming up 41, getting close to home, and I look over to my right, and there's like five people sunbathing on the side of 41, and they've got this terrace dug out so you can actually, you know, put a chair there. And there's been enough time there where it's starting to kind of, and if you notice the amount of trash that's around that, you can pick a camp out before you even get to it. Not because of the enclosure of the terrace I mentioned. It's the trash that's accumulating around it. It doesn't appear like we're doing anything about it lately, which means that it's continuing to get worse. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on 41, but it's becoming, there's something going on. It's an issue down there.
Matty J, if you were the mayor, what would you do?
Leave. Pack it up. No. I continue to lean on our governor, Newsom, to continue to come up with some plan.
That's
which
a dangerous area. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, yeah. Is that's a dangerous area to be, you know, hanging around. I mean, there's a lot of cars going by there. You
well,
know,
at least, like you said, they've created a front yard terrace and a nice entryway into the front door. It is what it is. I mean, we're in a mode here, in case you haven't been living under a rock or something. It's happening more and more. And there has to be some serious thought, not just throw more money at it. I think it's more than anything else, and I'll give you my 2 cents worth. It's a mental issue and drug issue. That's all it is. Okay, there's always some folks that would like to live where they want to live and call it the shots like they want to call it. But bottom line is, we need to tackle the drug issue, and we need to certainly tackle more help for the mental.
Well, they also figured out how to get that Target grocery cart out of the area, because there was one out there upside down. But I get halfway out of the parking lot, and the wheels stop.
Okay, so
how did he do that?
I mentioned the dangerous part of the road with cars and things traveling on there. Well, you get a shopping cart and decides to come down the mountain there and end up on 41. I think that might be kind of a tough day for someone that happens.
Well, for me, it's great. Who rides a motorcycle now at times, and it gives me training on getting out of the way when that deer, that big buck, comes down off the roadside and crosses the road.
I don't know. Maybe that's an area that they don't. You know, they feel like they can. You know, and I get it. Trust me. I know that, Matt, you mentioned what you mentioned about, you know, the drug side, but there are a lot of people that are just out there.
Yeah.
And what is the solution? And I don't know, besides the fact that it appears to me the numbers are growing so much. I just love to understand why, you know, we're not getting.
Well, yeah, hey, it is. It's not going away, and it's getting worse. And there is no, I don't care what side you believe in, the right, the left, you're moderate, you're independent, whatever you are politically, it doesn't matter. It's a comprehensive issue that needs to be dealt with in all different facets. But I don't really have any grand. Usually, I have a great opinion on how to fix certain things, but on this one, I'm lost.
Well, well said, boys.
Let's get back to sports.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, that's fact. We on Thursday's show, I already would have been let go and fired and sent back to high school for even approaching anything in that department. I don't know. I don't know what the Pag Meter's thinking. You're the leader of this show.
Can't lead us in that. About here, honestly, yeah. It's not the political side of the thing. He just has been. He's lived in Fresno longer than we've lived in Fresno.
That's right.
He's lived in Fresno, born and raised his entire life. So. As anybody's as passionate about Fresno, it's Nick. Nobody's.
You got to put your little closer to your mouth.
So
what I'm saying is that.
There you go.
You know, I can get where Nick's coming from, and
sure.
And again, he's not being political. He's just saying, hey, what's up with this, and why is this way? We've got all these folks coming through Fresno, and you know, we want Fresno to have a good, you know, picture in everybody's mind, and all these folks coming in from other countries and states, going up 41, headed to Yosemite, of course. That's the gateway to Yosemite. So it is an area that we'd like to have a little bit better.
Well, Pat Hill talked about, and you brought it up yesterday, you got to bring it up again, what he did with recruits.
Well, when you'd bring recruits in from San Jose, Bay Area, that part of our state, and then, of course, north all the way through up Merced, Stockton, Sacramento, and north of that, the recruits would come in. You've got kids that have been recruited or playing Division One, and you've got another one coming on the way. So you know what it's like to go on that recruiting visit, and you bring the mom and the dad, and everybody's there. And you want to shed light on your community or your campus area the best you can, and they strategically would bring their map into play by coming down 99 or crossing over through Los Banos, over Pacheco Pass, come on in. When you hit 99, obviously head south, and take the Avenue 9 exit and cut across through Valley, through either Avenue 12 or, more importantly, Avenue 9, up through Valley Children's, see that, get on the 41, head north, or excuse me, south, and you come right into River Park and those beautiful mid-rise buildings. It's a beautiful setup with trees, and for the most part, the trash off the freeway is cleaner. Everything about that journey is a lot cleaner, and it sheds a big, important light to the parents that what a great community, it's clean and it feels so nice, as opposed to going all the way down 99 south, going past Olive, all the way down into whatever turn you want to take to go maybe airport to Fresno State. That was strategic in the marketing and the idea of how to entice young recruits and families to come to Fresno State. So you know there's a problem. I do that at my own house where I live. No, you don't want to go that way. You want to make sure you. And then they get to my house, they realize, hey, Coach Johnson, you know, I checked MapQuest. You took me like 4 miles the wrong way.
You owe me some money for gas.
Yeah, no, I did that on purpose. I wanted you to see the best entryway into my neighborhood. So that's what's going on.
Yeah, I just, you know, you get around to these cities, you know, and it's not just Fresno, it's San Jose. So, you know, my daughter lives in San Jose, and you're talking about a city that has, you know, great San Jose Sharks. The San Jose Sharks play there.
Yeah.
You've got a wonderful, you know, Santa Clara's right up the street, and
we have a little. And there
by,
we go.
And with all those venues there, and the amount of people that come in there, you get off the beaten path in San Jose, where homes for a 2-bedroom, 1,500 square foot home is over $1 million, and that city cannot keep up. The when you get off the freeway,
yes,
it's absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
There.
Yep.
And I've spent a lot of time in the last 3 years in San Jose, and I've said every time. Now, I'm not a politician, and I don't want to be one, but I do know that some things are easier said when you're not involved directly with what it is you're complaining about. So if somebody would expose me into a board meeting or something like that, and I'd get a better understanding of what it means to try to clean things like that up, I might have a different opinion.
Yeah.
My opinion is what I know about today. It doesn't necessarily mean it's an easy fix. I get that. I do get budgets. But it seems like certain amount of money and budgets are pushed towards the Fairmont Hotel,
sure.
From landscaping to you name it. That's all right there. But you get off that beaten path, that's when things start
what
to
I,
kind of go.
What I don't understand is we all represent one giant community, and that is the state of California, and how I can go to so many different high school sporting events and venues and follow the college scene and maybe go in with Nick and you and the gang and go watch a Sharks game in San Jose. How is it that it seems like those communities don't litter as much? They don't throw their trash off this. This is the ugliest stretch of trash on our freeways of any community I see in the whole entire state of California. That is not a political thing.
Well,
who are the people that eat their fast food and rather than wait to go throw it in the proper trash receptacle, toss it outside their window? Who are those people? And that is not a problem that is easily fixed, because that's an internal problem with who that person is.
How about setting a McDonald's cup outside your door at a stoplight?
With not even a yeah. That's what you do?
You witness that every now and then, too, right? Yeah. It is what it is. You know, it's just what you're dealing with, but... You
people
know,
dropping off their couches on the side of the road,
just,
that's okay?
It's not okay.
Now, relaying that to what you guys had heard, I had stopped and picked something up on the way over here to the Fashion Furniture Studio. But talking and relaying that to sports and these venues and the enthusiasm and the crowd control and, as you said, something about administrators being there at games and all that, that's a factor that you could go on either side of, but – administrators need to be there, because the shenanigans and things that could go sideways, I believe, the events I go to, it could happen in a moment, in a snap. And so to think that, you know, every school's got to do it a certain way, they don't, obviously. You had Frank on, great caller, Frank, talking about what goes on in where he's at. It's different. The level of love in campus, the maturity of each campus and the kind of student body that represents that campus, they're different every stop I go.
But I've been watching basketball for 25 years. I have yet to see a problem with the student section. But you go to the track, Matt, there's two administrators not watching the game. They are focused on the kids.
No. They're focused on me, too.
Well, you are at Rocky Balboa now.
Oh, by the way, dance move central over here. Anything can happen. Anything can happen
but
at any minute.
You have to have two administrators going, shh, enough, stop it, don't say that, don't do that.
Hey, it depends on what they're talking about. I'm a coach. I've heard some pretty good things, and I'm looking around wondering, is anybody going to stop that guy or that family, or am I going to have to go up there and handle it myself? There are issues that happen at these games. Some, you're right, it's like, that's a little overkill, that's too much. But some, with the nature of where we are and the nature of how we seem to follow along, you don't need to go anywhere but turn on the TV and figure out that there's some crazy stuff happening at those ball games, from a fan level, from a player's level, and then the shenanigans that happened after the game. I mean, it's out there. I know that. It's just in the context of what was going on, and did that administrator or did that person overreact?
Well,
or did they not respond?
Well, what should be okay and what should be wrong? So if you're an administrator and you got a student section that's, you know, I've seen administrators sitting there, two of them, and there's nobody there.
Yeah.
There's three kids, and they're sitting up in the corner, and they don't want to say anything. Then you get a great game like, you know, Clovis North, Clovis West, or Clovis North, Clovis East that you recently, you know, went to, Nick, and observed what you're saying, or just kind of reminded you of these things that have already been going on out there. What's right and what's wrong?
Yeah.
So if you're an administrator out there and you're listening to this great show, by the way, I'd love for you to call in and let us know, what are the rules? What can the student section do and what can't they do? So it gives us a better understanding so we can be a little bit more educated when we're sitting here having this discussion.
Sure.
Right now.
Well, we just had Frank on from Porterville. He's never had an issue. Packed house.
He's not an administrator.
Okay, so I've been to Kingsburg. I've never seen an issue. I go to Fowler. I've never seen an issue. Carruthers, Selma, I can go on and on.
Here is the.
But you go to a track.
And
all of a sudden, we got to have two administrators
Central Unified,
and a blowgun.
They all have.
No, we have Madera Unified. Okay. I am one of those administrators, if you will. We have it at all the ball games. There are administrators present
at all the games.
But you're
sitting in the stands just in case.
Not always. Not always.
Well, I have seen you.
There's a presence. There's a presence that's there. The thing is, what we might be forgetting is a couple things. One, let's not just put it into what's happening on the court or on the football field in a great contest, enthusiasm everywhere. If anyone's trying to take that away, then shame on them. But there are things that can happen, and I would rather have administrative presence as opposed to picking up the newspaper or talking to someone the next day and say, well, where were the administrators when that went down? They have to be ready, prepared for anything, the contingency that could fly off, because I know that if something ever goes wrong, God forbid, in any way, shape, or form, I would rather have a solid presence of people that could at least have some crisis control in hand, as opposed to watching a full-on melee happen like we saw in high school football this year and what we've seen all around America, that's far more extreme than what I'm talking about.
But it only happens in the track, though, because I don't see any other 147 schools that we cover. I've never seen an issue.
Let's talk about the pillars of character, the main thing, the transformational aspect of trying to change young guys' lives and young ladies' lives as high schoolers. If it is too extreme, then that's too much, meaning they're trying to control the audience from doing anything, from cheering their team, if you will. Well, that's too extreme. I don't know. I don't go to enough games outside of my world to answer to that. But if they're there simply for things that have happened in the past, foul language, attacking another player unduly, disrespecting the school, doing things that don't uphold the standard of Clovis Unified, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I've seen some ugly things happen in the middle of an athletic contest in junior high, elementary school, high school level, certainly. If they're there to try to maintain the respect and the dignity that the founding fathers, the Floyd Doc Buchanan, started, I'm all for it. I don't know if that's the case. I'm not in that school district.
Well, Matt's got his administrator hat on today.
No, but it's a fact.
If you talk to parents, I've been around a while. I've seen a lot of basketball games. I've watched, the track. Okay, let's say you talk about the track, but I've also been outside the track, but specifically the track. Has it gotten worse than it was back in 15 years ago about, how much policing that's going on? I look up in the student sections, and I don't see a lot of bad-looking kids. The kids look good. They're all, hanging out, having a good time, and smiling, and they're not out and about doing their thing. And they're sitting there, and it seems like there's only, like, two chances that they can say.
Yeah.
It's either defense or maybe something else. But they can't target anybody.
Yeah.
And now, my opinion is you should be able to target somebody, but doing it the right way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not talking cursing, profanity, things like that, but, yelling. I don't even know if they can stand up when somebody's shooting a free throw and waving their arms.
They got in trouble last week. Miss that free throw.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, I don't.
I didn't see it.
You got to be kidding me.
I don't get that.
Like I said, I haven't seen that.
I'm going to bring it as a parent's side.
I haven't seen that.
If Tessa, let's say, was at a game and she came on, I go, hey, how'd the game go? Well, we were up there cheering. I spent $4 getting the game, and that we couldn't really be loud. You're not going to the game anymore. Now I know why there's no student section in Buchanan, Clovis West, or Clovis North football games. Because if I'm going to get yelled at a football game where I want to be rowdy and yell for my team, and I get in trouble, Stu Gotts on that. That ain't going
to
happen.
And if you only have to go there because you want the earbuds or the free slice of pizza, then you're not really want to be there. Then you just
wholeheartedly agree with that. Once again, I cannot comment to any of that because I have never seen that.
Well, like, I did see
as a coach from schools that played against track conference opponents to a school that has traveled all in different areas from Division I all the way down to Division V, every group setting we go in, stadium setting, indoor arena setting, they're all different. I don't know exactly what you guys are getting at, but if there's somebody that's is thumbs on top of the crowd from allowing them to elevator, elevator, we got the shaft, conducting any kind of cheers that we used to do.
Oh, wait a minute. You said something there. Time out. You said the wrong word.
Yeah.
You need to go.
If that kind of thing is going on, guys, what's wrong? They got to slow it down. They got to fix that. But right now, there has to be a reason. There's a reason for everything and reasons why people sit behind closed doors. Maybe the officials' union came to them and said, look, you got to clean this up. We're getting killed out there, and we don't like this. Then so they had to clean it up. Something is obviously going on from what you're talking about. But in the big picture, heck, we just did a game that was in front of 3,500 people easily, boys and girls, basketball.
And they had two administrators looking up at the booth.
And we're on a telecast, so it's a different deal. It looked pretty exciting to me. Like, there was a lot of noise and a lot of enthusiasm.
So, is it okay, Nick?
Except for the guy that was out on the court dancing and doing his thing. I thought it looked awesome.
He looked good.
I thought that was awesome.
The other day they said, man, you were jazzed up at that game. And I said, yeah, until I get hammered by somebody. But here's what I'm going to say. Tell you, mm-hmm. and I don't need to tell you because you had some really athletic kids and you were an athlete yourself, so I think you get this.
Yeah.
Now, Pags, on the other hand, he'll have to listen and learn a little bit from what we're going to say. But I'm just kidding, Nick. But here's the thing I was telling Pags earlier. A majority of the parents that are out there, and I, everybody's about things differently. Unless you're in that battle, and I've said this multiple times on this show, and maybe even on the Rise show if you guys have me on once there. So I might be repeating myself, but it's important enough for all you people out there that accuse people of being crazy or whatever, and I don't care. You're not involved. If you don't have a horse that's in the race, don't know what it means to spend the amount of time and have your kids running around the country and doing things and how passionate they are about wanting to play a particular sport, then your opinion, in my mind, doesn't count. I could care less what you think. I really don't care.
Yeah.
Until you've lived it and if you experienced it, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, give us some of the negative things you're talking about.
I'm just saying, you'd be able to get up and dance and do your thing and be excited about your kid in a situation where they've worked their tail off to get better at certain things. So, of course, you're going to be ecstatic. But when people look at you and say, what's wrong with that guy? He's crazy. That's just, to me, it's like, wait a minute.
I thought, see, the deal is, in its definition, fanatical person.
Sure.
Get after it.
That's
when you're,
what fans
and when you're dealing,
are.
That's what they are. So, like I said, in the context of what you guys are talking about, I'm in a different category of that. I am simply I highly encourage, if I was a superintendent of any school district or if I was a conference commissioner of any conference, you have to have a level of administration types there to offset anything that would happen, as opposed to just anarchy.
Sure.
I haven't witnessed that stage of anarchy yet. I certainly admire a parent that gets up, gets crazy, dances on the floor. I admire that. I would tell anybody, because I was that parent myself that got a chance to sit in the stands and have a bunch of people who don't know who you are necessarily talking about something they don't know anything about and putting my son or daughter down in a certain way. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, my kid responds, gets the gold medal, and they're all over there like, and I'm thinking, Dad, I tried to tell you, don't talk about the no. Doing a little thing where they would consider being a little bit, whether it was I was showboating for my son or daughter, or whether I was going crazy for this and that. There's a fine line between what's right and wrong. And getting up and cheering loudly, being a lunatic in any way, shape, or form, and not harming anyone else is completely acceptable in the world that I grew up in the world of athletics. I'm talking about somebody where I grew up, where you're at the free throw line and a battery comes sailing across the court.
That changes everything.
Thank you. I'm talking about being, as a coach in today's game, walking off a football field and having a parent put something in my ribs and tell me, is this the one you want me to do? Do you want me to shoot him? Is this the one? I'm talking about, I would certainly respect having administrator types or security around. Could someone get this person? Because you want me to handle it? So that's two different worlds we're talking about here. But in the love and the fairness of play and all the great things that go on in the world of athletics in this local town, other than the videotape we got from that great football game that turned sideways in Delano, I haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah, that was crazy.
What I have seen, though, are some parents or some fans literally try to tear a kid apart during the course of a game and go too far with it, meaning their verbal language towards someone else.
Player.
There yes.
You there you go.
Or someone assaulting verbally an official that goes too far. That's where I draw the line, and that's what administration's there, I would think. If they're going too far
unless
with it.
Provoked.
Yeah. Now, unless we are starting to get into the next generation of Footloose, the movie, ooh, where we're not allowed to dance, I think watching my sidekick here, Nick Anderson, do a little jig on the court is absolutely acceptable.
Were you impressed?
I was impressed.
That's what was that.
I was on TV, though. Now, I didn't know what it was about, but it looked like he's excited.
You know who wasn't impressed was Clovis North.
Just, yeah, possible.
Clovis West liked it. Clovis North.
Yeah, possibly.
But also, the other way around, though, if you go back to the Clovis West gym where Clovis North won at the buzzer and they all ran outside to celebrate, Clovis West wasn't real happy about it. So I think it's a rivalry.
Of course
we're talking, it's a big time rivalry, and all bets
it's
are off on a rivalry.
Well, it's fun.
The only now the other
you're gonna lose some. There's gonna be days when people are dancing in front of me. But you got to get most of the people that don't understand it. It's like Cole played against Central the other night, and their fan base is all over them entire game. I wasn't there, but after the game, where's Cole giving these people hugs?
Yeah.
They're not throwing F-bombs at him, but they don't want – they're rooting against him, of course. But he knows these guys because he's growing up with them.
Well, it's going to make him a better player,
absolutely,
too.
Now, also, too, not to use this example or compare that to this, but it is important, too, as an athlete who had a father that was as extreme as you get. I mean, he's shouting things from the stands at me, at the opponent, against me. You're too lethargic. Telling, you know, screaming that Johnson, pick it up, stop being lazy during the game, yelling at me, embarrassing me as a player. I couldn't do anything about it. It's my dad.
That's right.
When a parent goes so far that it's embarrassing, sure, or if the kid is detrimentally affected by it, then we have to look at that side of it.
That goes back to the student section, Matt.
Yeah.
So if they're just absolutely on somebody, then I get it. So all these things make a lot of sense. I think we bring it up in hopes that, you know, we can understand it better.
Yeah.
And again, we want that environment at the high school level to continue to be there. It's at a high level right now. It's fun. Let's get through it. All it's going to do is make everybody better.
That's right. I always believe, too, and for those of you who are always usually coming in from a school that doesn't draw very well, there's no crowds at the games. Let's say if Buchanan football doesn't draw as many fans as they should, then when they play Central, maybe they should use what the technique I was trained by my father is they're there. They're cheering. In your mind, I'm saying they're cheering for me. They're cheering for our team because a lot of kids don't have that kind of support.
Well, I get it now. All the messages I got this week, the parents are saying, Nick, they don't get to have fun anymore, so they don't want to show up. I totally get it anymore. Buchanan, Clovis West, and Clovis North, I get it. Hey, coming up in a few seconds, we have two of the best coaches in the state in the house tonight. Four-time state champion Paul Keesaw, the wrestling coach for Fresno City Rams, and Oliver Jamon, the head coach for the Fresno City women's soccer team. Both are going to be here.
Well, three in a row they've won. They've won 17 state championships in their history. They've got 10. He has 10, I believe. Nine championships for Coach Keesaw. I don't know. We'll talk about that. That's unbelievable.
He's got 9 rings, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable.
One for the thumb. One more for the thumb.
By the way, I endorse Paul to be the next coach of Fresno State. And he's going to be at Iowa State, Nebraska soon. It's a matter of time. That's how.
Why would he ever go leave Fresno City? It's the greatest wrestling program in America.
Oliver should be the head coach of the USA women's Olympic team soon. I mean, come on. Let's just throw it. They have no idea what they're getting into. We're going to talk to both of them
when
we come back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Zone Show, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
Are in the zone.
It's the PAG meter. Matty J, Nick Anderson here live at
Maybe I didn't say that well enough. I couldn't cover Nick Anderson as good as his
you just
in the
say,
zone.
Now Nick's eating. We got everyone eating here from the Chico's Italian restaurant. Of course, Mario Vitucci. It's got the rigatoni today with some chicken in it, some mushrooms. We got the I don't know what he did today, but the bread is off the charts. One word.
Giddy up. Giddy
up. Matt's a little slow right now. But
I've always felt giddy up's not one word, but apparently I was wrong. Giddy up. Giddy up is one word, apparently.
So, DeChico's Divisadero Blackstone, the original since 1956. Go see Mario Vitucci, Sean First, Sean Van Ness, and Kings Canyon and Clovis Avenue. I do want to thank I do want to look at Oliver Jamont taking the photos.
Yeah. Well, at least I can take a picture and still concentrate and talk, but you apparently have to shut down.
I have to smile.
You have to shut down completely to get it in there.
But we're at the 94 ESPN Studios here at Fashion Furniture. The January clearance sale is going off right now. Everything in the store is almost on sale. January clearance sale since 1960. It's one of the best times a year to come on over here. And also Helena Agri Enterprises. If you're a farmer, if you're a grower, if you have almond trees, cherries, pistachios, and maybe you're part of the orchards, not really 100% like the other ones, you don't know why, call the experts, 559-261-9030, Matty
J. Let's talk crop fertilization.
Yes.
Let's get everything as fertile as we possibly can.
Let's fertile it up. And, you know, one guy who's fertile is Paul Keesaw. Just kidding. Coach just wins every year. If he doesn't win the state, then he's sad. But, Coach, welcome in.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Paul, how do you do it every year? You just get the talent. You got the coaching going. And when you walk in the gym now, it's like, uh-oh, it's Fresno City's here.
Yeah, usually they're not real excited to see Fresno City when you come into the gym. Not in the last 4 years. But I have a great staff. I have to give a huge shout-out to my assistant, George Moreno. He's been with me for over 10 years now. And George has been a huge part of my success. And, you know, last couple of years, you know, Pepe Mendoza from Selma has been with us. And Gilberto Camacho, the old Washington Union state champ.
Yep.
So I got a lot of help. I got a lot of kids who come and help, and we've been fortunate to get some great talent. You know, we got wrestlers all across the world. We got two kids in New York University, one of the most prestigious universities in the world. We got two kids, a Madera kid and a Hoover kid. You know, we got a kid who's just signed to go to Loeris College, number two ranked Division III school in the country in Dubuque, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
We got kids in Nebraska. We got kids at Bruton Parker, Georgia. You know, we got a kid at Fresno State. We got a kid at Bakersfield. We got a kid at the Minnesota Golden Gophers. So we've been real fortunate and had a lot of success. And, you know, that success really, I think, is matriculating kids and getting them out and getting them degrees and watching their lives change because they can wrestle.
Well, Coach, you are you and your staff, first, congratulations, another state championship. Congratulations and ultimate respect from this show and from this group of knuckleheads that we off cover, because I have to apologize. We should cover this a lot more because that Fresno City College wrestling in general, 17 state championships. You've won, and along with your assistant coach, this is when you know you're clicking. Your team wins another state. You get coach of the year again. Your assistant coach is the assistant coach of the year again. There's not many more awards they can be given. Tell us about your background, what led you to the position you're in today, and let's get to know a little bit more about Coach Keesaw and the background of where you came from, where you grew up, and the story.
Well, I'm originally a Pennsylvania guy. You know, I grew up in Pennsylvania and wrestled in Pennsylvania, learned how to wrestle there. And
Learn how to wrestle your family, your dad, get in the basement, let's go do what we do, or what?
My dad wrestled in high school.
Okay.
He wrestled his junior and senior year in high school. When I was in third grade, they had an announcement during school. It said, hey, YAD sign-ups for wrestling. And my buddy sitting next to me said, hey, let's go get a sign-up sheet. So we did. And
in that state, you're very familiar with wrestling. A lot of guys, I coach football, and you're going to wrestle, and they go to practice. Literally, this year at Madera South, guy came to me 2 days later in the weight room and said, Coach, you know, I'm going to stick with it, but I look like, when am I going to get to jump off the ropes and go get the guy? And when do I get? They're thinking wrestling, and they're thinking about Jimmy Superfly Snuka, and they're thinking they got all these little moves they can flip, and then, you know.
No, Pennsylvania, it's a lot.
But Pennsylvania,
different.
They figured
Central
it out.
Central Valley, too, I think, is a little different. You know, Madera, you got a lot of families that go back a long ways that wrestle. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I think the most important thing, you know, the difference kind of back east, you know, and Clovis kind of has it. They have it in the schools. You know, you have to put it where your kids can access it. And, you know, wrestling's a blue-collar sport. You know, it's for everybody. It's, you know, for everybody's weight. You know, I grew up wrestling. I was a little guy my whole life. My freshman year in high school, I wrestled 105 pounds. My senior year in high school, I wrestled 155 pounds.
Okay.
You know, my freshman year in college, I wrestled 167 pounds.
We're talking late bloomer.
I was a late bloomer. Yeah, I have a lot of
Either that or you cut weight very effectively.
No, I didn't really. I was just a late bloomer. You know, I matured late.
Yeah.
After my freshman year in college, I gained about really 75 pounds and went from, you know, about 180 pounds up to 250 pounds.
And, yeah.
you know, then I became, you know, who I am. So it helped, you know, I grew up wrestling as a little guy and learned how to wrestle as a little guy. So as I got bigger, you know, it helped me on the mat deal with those big old boys.
Good point.
You know, that's kind of was my success. You know, I was a two-time Division I All-American. I was an NCAA Division I national champion in 1991. I was a Pac-10 champion in 1991. I was a Pac-10 Athlete of the Year in wrestling in 1991. You know, my team at Cal State Bakersfield finished ninth in the nation in 1991. You know, that's a pretty good accomplishment, a top 10 finish. So wrestling's been in my blood, and I never dreamed of coaching. I never wanted to coach. I didn't want to coach because I knew if I coached, I would probably have to coach some knucklehead like myself.
Yeah.
So I really wasn't interested in coaching at all.
Yeah.
And it was late July of 1991, and my friend Tony Avaya came by the house, and he said, "Hey, we have this opening at Bakersfield College. We want you to come coach over there." And I was like, "No." And he's like, "No, really, we want you to coach." I'm like, "I don't want to coach."
Yeah.
He's like, "No, well, what are you doing right now?" And at the time, I was selling cemetery property door to door. So I got thinking.
That's always
like,
good.
Yeah, I mean, it was a job, but I was like, well.
Yeah.
So Tony goes, "Well, think about it." So he comes by the next day and says, "Hey, well, you know, we really want you." I'm like, "All right, we'll set up a meeting, you know." And so he sets up a meeting and. He says, you know, I say, "How much should I ask for?" He says, "Well, maybe, you know, $1,000 or so." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I have this meeting with the coach, you know, Bill Clevis. He's the guy at Bakersfield College who got me in. And we eat and lunch. And Bill says, "You know, I'd like you to coach. How much money do you want?" And I go, $3,000. He goes, "Okay, done." I was like, "Oh, no."
You blew that one.
Oh, I blew it. Yeah. So I became a coach. I showed up at the first day of practice, and Tony wasn't there. I was like, "Tony, what happened?" He's like, "Well, I'm not coaching there anymore. You are." And, you know, that started my coaching career. I coached at Bakersfield College for 4 years from 91 through 95. I had a great time with Bill Clevis. I learned a lot.
Now, Coach, let's stop right there, though. While you're – were you continuing your education or were you – okay. So you can't –
So I worked in the oil fields Sunday through Thursday from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Then I went to wrestling practice from like 4 to 6, and then I took night classes from 6:30 to 9:30.
Wow.
So I got my master's degree in that 4 years while I was working, you know, coaching and working in the oil fields and trying to find myself. And then a legend in himself named John Kiever at Moore Park College called me up one day and said, "Hey, I want you to be my new head wrestling coach. I'm going to become the athletic director. And I'm done coaching wrestling. I want you to take over my program." So in 1996, I went to Moore Park College and became the head wrestling coach. That's the first year I became the head wrestling coach in California Community College. And I was there from 96 through 2005. I had a great experience down there. I won 3 state championships. I was a runner-up once. You know, we had a bunch of state champs. You know, John Kiever was a wonderful mentor for me. I learned how to be a coach. I learned how to be organized. I learned how to be disciplined. And, you know, I think you grow everywhere you go.
Sure.
Everyone you come across, you know, you learn something from and you get better at it and better at it. And, you know, in 2006, Coach Bill Music, the legend of himself, Bill Music, you know, basically said he wanted Paul Kesaw as the next wrestling coach at Fresno City College. And, you know, somehow the pieces came together you know, I got the job at Fresno City College in 2006 and haven't really looked back yet. You know, we've had 14 seasons and, you know, really since 2010, this decade, we've actually had a tremendous, tremendous run. You know, so in the last 10 years, we've won 7 state championships and we've been runner up 3 times. So we've been in the top 2 for the last 10 years.
What strikes me, too, with your team is what depth of wrestlers you have. I mean, when you're looking at a state championship, I was not aware. I've heard of your name. I never got a chance to meet you or your assistant,
This is Oliver.
Oliver. Yeah. I've never got a chance to meet any of you guys personally, but I'm a wrestling big-time fan. And I started kind of doing a little research realizing, wait a minute, you got the number one guy, but he's also wrestling your own guy for a state title. How does that work? You can put two guys in the same weight class if they're that good?
Well, California Community College, we follow the NAIA rule in wrestling. So we have 10 weight classes, and when it comes down to the end of the year, we can put 10 guys out in each weight class, and then we can have 2 extra guys.
Okay.
So we can take 12 total guys to the postseason. So we can only have two guys in one or two weight classes. You can't have three guys in a weight class. So really what it does is it gives more kids more opportunity.
Absolutely.
And by having those two extra spots right there, I give 18 to 20 kids an opportunity. And so, you know, I start the beginning of the year. This year we started with 51 kids on the team.
Yeah.
So I tell them it's a working interview from, you know, the very first tournament to the very end of the tournament. Everyone gets a chance to go and compete in these tournaments. And, you know, in wrestling, it's great. Whoever wins is the best guy.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to pick, you know. It's
there's no parent coming at you like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. You're favoring my son over that son.
So,
you either beat him or you didn't beat him.
Yeah, exactly. So we've had a really good, you know, run of that. And I really like it because the kids settle it. You know, I don't want to play God. I don't want to decide who goes. I don't want to choose, you know, this guy over that guy. So to me, facts don't lie, you know, records, head to head competition, who's placed higher, who's been beaten by who, all that stuff shakes out by the end of the year. I will say this year was a little bit more difficult to pick, you know, the two extra guys. You know, we had like 157, we had the number 1, 3, and 5 ranked guy in the state. You know, heavyweight, we were 1 and 3.
Wow.
You know, 125, we were 1 and 3. You know, so sometimes that gets a little hard, but.
We're talking with Paul Kiesel, the head coach of the Fresno City Rams wrestling team. Coach, so we're in the mecca of the wrestling world, it seems like. Fresno, Clovis, the Valley here. You're going to get the kids show up, and they all think they want to be at Penn State, and they want to be. How do you handle those kids who, you know, I'm all state, you know, I'm going to come in, I'm going to be with you, but how do you bring them, say, you know, we're at Fresno City now, we're going to take you to the next level? Because recruiting's big, but, you know, every kid wants to play for Alabama.
Yeah, they do. You know, the great thing about wrestling is you get humbled. So those kids go out and get a taste of some of those kids. We have a tournament the second weekend in November. It's the Bill Music Memorial. And we've, you know, Fresno State brings their red shirts there. Bakersfield brings their red shirts. And, you know, some of our kids have got to compete against some of the Fresno State freshman kids, you know, and redshirt kids. And, you know, in wrestling, you get humbled a little bit by that. But at the same token, it gives those kids an opportunity to make a name for himself and go Division I. So, you know, some kids, there's a reason why you're at junior college. I don't care what people say. There's a reason why you're there. You know, I tell people we deal with 98% of the population. You know, Fresno State deals with 2% of the population. You know, if you can qualify and get into Fresno State and you're a Division I athlete, I'm probably not going to talk to you. The only problem is, you know, I know you guys talked about parents and this stuff before we came on. A lot of people really don't do a very good job of self-evaluation and understanding where their talent skills are and what their talent is. You know, a lot of kids around this valley, and it's not just wrestling, but they think they're a little better than they are. Clovis just hosted the Doc B tournament and had some of the best wrestlers in the country come. You know, and they're state champs from across the country losing in the first round or second round. And, you know, and a lot of our local kids had some really good success. And a lot of our local kids lost to some kids, you know, from New Jersey or Colorado or someplace. And, you know, I think it's just a good test for them to kind of see where they are and where they land. But, you know, in this area, you know, you got the Neville's brothers who are competing at Penn State right now. You got some really good kids who have come out of this area who are competing big time right now. So those kids, there's a lot of those kids out there. There's a lot of them out there, but I'm an NCAA Division I national champ. When I go sit at the bar tonight and I tell people that, most people have no clue what I'm talking about. So they don't know the difference between Division I, Division II, or Division III. So I can say I'm just a college national champ, and I think I'm going to get the same reaction.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of the day, can you graduate from college? Can you compete? Can you have a great experience finishing school? And grow up during the process. To me, that's far more important than saying you competed on a Division I.
Well, that's a coach right there.
Unbelievable. This is a clinic right here, and I'm loving this. Now, speaking of, you know, since you have this vast time in the saddle being in the wrestling world, and I talk about this for the last probably 5 years, the great story every year, when we come to the end of each new year, we talk, Pagmeen and I, about these are the greatest accomplishments of the year. And I always go back and I rewarded this family again. You talked about the Nevilles. In all your travels in Pennsylvania and world travels in the world of wrestling, please explain to the general listening audience how difficult it is to not only be a four-time state champ or a three-time or a two-time state champion in a state the largest as large as California, to win a state championship at heavyweight where your maturity level is almost off the charts as a freshman in California, Nick Neville's I'm talking about. How many – to me, that's –
Well, he still can't
to be a ninth grader, a 14-year-old, and to go up against some big senior from Gilroy or you know, San Diego, Poway, wherever you're talking about, to win a state championship as a heavyweight, to me, that's the greatest accomplishment I've had in sports, and I'm a football guy. Tell us about what your thinking on that is.
I agree with you. I mean, Nick's special. You know, Seth did the same thing, too.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely special. Those, I'm a big guy. You know, one of the things I tell people in coaching, especially wrestling, I hope wrestling coaches are listening out there. If you want to have a happy team, make the big guys happy. Okay? Because when big guys are happy, everyone else is happy. When the big guys in the room are not happy, everyone else is scared to death. And so that's how that works. And so, you know, the Nevilles are generational athletes. I mean, you know, Nick, even AJ, what he's doing is special. But, you know, Nick and Seth, it's just a special thing. They're competing on the best team in the country. You know, Penn State has been the wrestling, not only the wrestling team of the decade, but Penn State wrestling is the collegiate team of the decade.
And
they
have
had more success than Alabama or any other football team or basketball team.
Absolutely. How did that change, though? I grew up.
Iowa.
Originally, when I grew up, I'm deep into my 50s now. It was Iowa State.
Yeah, Iowa State.
Right.
And Dan Gable. It was that era. And then it went a little bit of Oklahoma State / Iowa. Obviously, Gable took over as the head coach. But now Penn State is the preeminent. Yeah, how did that turn? Was it just recruiting? Was it the great coaching? And
well, Penn State has this dude named Cale Sanderson.
Yeah, Cale Sanderson. Unbelievable.
I mean, so I grew up in Pennsylvania. I mean, you know, I got recruited to Penn State when I was growing up, and I decided not to go there. For me, it was just a big school, and they weren't like they are now.
Yes.
But they hired this dude named Cale Sanderson, and he's absolutely turned it around. And, you know, the other thing I'll tell you as a coach is coaches have an impact, and coaches have an impact. And when you get the right coach in the right situation, I think people see results and an impact. Cale Sanderson is a great example of what he's done, the continued success they've had there, the amount of talent they've had there, the depth they have there. It's just absolutely unbelievable. It's astounding to wrestling right now. He's on track to break every Dan Gable record. And so don't tell me that coaches don't have an impact and coaches don't play a major role in what's going on. And, you know, by the way, his, you know, Franklin, a football coach, is always hanging around him trying to get his ideas because, I mean, I watch Cale. I try to get his ideas, too.
one last question. We would not be doing our job if we didn't have to ask it. Like, for instance, at my high school right now, in Madera Unified, the girls are getting after it now. The young ladies are wrestling, and they're wrestling hard, and they're looking fabulous. Wrestling at Fresno City, the girls wrestle, too? Or what's...
You know what? I'm really glad you brought that up because I was going to mention that. Next year, spring 2021, California Community College is going to have women's wrestling. Fresno City College will be one of the first colleges in California Community College to have women's wrestling. We will have a women's wrestling team next year.
Awesome.
We are going out right now actively recruiting a women's wrestling team for Fresno City College. We're hoping to have 6 to 8 teams in California Community College next year with wrestling.
Yep.
And we are really, really excited about women's wrestling. Women's wrestling, in my opinion, is going to save the sport of wrestling. You know, not just men's wrestling, but it's, I think, can enhance our sport and really kind of bring it out of the dungeon, so to speak. And I really hope people can embrace it and get behind it. Last year, I watched the women's wrestling championships. They were held simultaneously with the boys down in Bakersfield. And I'm not easily impressed, and I was impressed. I mean, girls compete. You know, I don't care what sport you go and watch, girls compete. I think it's a little different when you watch girls compete in combatives.
You know,
when you watch girls in MMA or something, you know, watching girls wrestling is a little different than going watching a girls basketball game. And you know what? Those girls mix it up. They tuck their sweatpants into their socks. They
get after it.
They get after it. You know,
I would argue, perfect point. I would argue that other than I guess in track and field, it looks pretty much the same. Times are differently the same, but I watched the girls roll around in our wrestling room at Madera South, and we've got a couple actually played football, and I'm looking. That technique might not be as clean and crisp as what I've used to seeing, but the ability to attack and get after it.
But I know it's coming. It's already happened in Texas. I hate to say it. I said it 5 years ago. The transgender thing's coming. How are you going to handle that?
I hope I don't. I really don't. I really do. I hope I don't have to handle any of that stuff. I mean,
I'm pretty much cut and dry. If you have a flipper and twins, you're on the boys' team. If you don't, you're on the girls' team. End of story. Next!
Yep.
That's how I am. There's no in between.
And JoJo, let's take a break with that. And we'll be back. You're listening live.
No, but
we're okay.
That's how I.
Yeah, we're going to have a women's team, man, and I hope we don't have to deal with some of that stuff, you know? You know, this year, the last couple of years, we've had some girls on our team. This year, we had two girls on our team, and they wrestled exhibition this year. They came to every single practice. And they did everything that the boys did. So when we ran to Shaw and ran 9 miles down the road, so did the girls.
Yeah.
You know, they wrestled every practice. And, you know,
the Shaw from Fresno City is quite a run.
It's quite a run, yeah. The guys always look forward to that. But, you know, coaching girls is different than boys. You know, I've been coaching for 25 years now, and this year I got my first ever birthday card.
Good.
My girl Annika gave it to me during practice, and I waited and I took it home. And when I opened it up, she had every single 50 kids sign that birthday card.
Oh my God!
So
that's
I look forward to coaching girls. I think I might get more birthday cards.
Yeah.
Annika brings me fruit and things
that's
like
deep.
That. I've been coaching boys. They just they don't bring me.
Fruit. They don't think of that.
Selfish,
do they?
Aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't.
That's beautiful. How about that? We'll finish with this from my end. Now, family, kids, children of your own, wife.
Yes, my beautiful wife. Hopefully she's listening out there. Kim, Kisa.
Yep.
We've been married for 23 years. This May 10th will be 24. I met her at Cal State Bakersfield. She took Coach Kerr's aerobics class while I was wrestling there, and I spotted her in the back of the room.
That was it.
Picked her out, And fortunately, she's been with me since. I have a son, Zachary Michael. He just finished at Golden West, a junior college down in Huntington Beach.
Yep.
He's a water polo, polo guy.
Very good.
He won two state championships down there for Golden West water polo.
By the way, water polo has to be one of the toughest sports because I do two laps in a pool. I need a nap. They're in the pool. They're maybe one lap.
Yeah.
You got to be, you know. Yep. I would be the biggest cheater. If you want to talk about cheating, underneath the water.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what goes on underneath the
water.
That's
what I'm talking about.
All I know is my kid wants to get me in the water, but I refuse to go in there.
There you go. There you go.
I also have a daughter, Sydney Cecilia. Sydney is a freshman at Fresno City College, and she's going to be on the track team. She's a thrower.
Very good.
She throws those ancient objects out there, the shot, disc, and the hammer.
Oh, I love it.
That's cool.
Athletic family. I love that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Paul, I had to have you on. I know – Darren and Kristen Hill, love you to death, the Hill family and everybody the other night at the Fresno City Rams baseball dinner. We're going to start doing this more and more.
We're going to have to. Great stuff. I don't usually say that. We talked to a lot of high school kids on our high school show, and you can see the ones with charismatic. You've got it all, man. I'm so proud to get a chance to really meet you.
Yeah. Awesome.
Dude, that's good stuff.
I appreciate it.
Yep.
Coming up next will
go
be
Rams.
Oliver Jamon. He has an open invitation as well. Probably the greatest woman soccer coach there is on the planet, and maybe a future Olympic coach. We'll talk to Oliver when we come back. Don't go anywhere. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You are in the zone on a Friday afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us here at the zone on Fashion Furniture. It's the Pag Meter, Nick Anderson, the Big Cat, Matty J. Also want to thank the Chicos today. Mario Vitucci, you outdid yourself. People loving the rigatoni with the mushrooms, little chicken in there, the chicken salad. If you do not want to cook tonight, you called the Chicos downtown to visit Daryl Blackstone, Sean Van Ness, Sean First, and also Kings Canyon Clovis. They got you covered around Fresno. The Chicos is my partner in crime. I love those guys. Also want to thank Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. The January clearance sale is going on right now. Get on over here this weekend and check out all the beautiful things they got going. And might as well get your house ready for the spring. Fashion Furniture and, of course, Helena Agar Enterprises, Nick Anderson, and you got all the stars over there. And if you have any questions in your farm, and you're all over the valley, everyone listening right here, there's a Helena location nearby. Call the experts at 559-261-9030. I want to thank Paul Keesaw. What a great guy he is. Matty J's hooking up the internet, I mean the phones. Now, let's bring in the greatest woman soccer coach we have in California, Oliver Jamon. Oliver, welcome in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Matt, the future Olympic coach right here.
I feel like I'm always following behind Keesaw. He has 9 championships. I've won. So here I am trying to follow up on that interview.
You won a national championship too, by the way.
I did, but
the key is, yeah, you've got a championship and a national championship, which I don't believe the Fresno City College wrestling team allows. They don't have a venue or a format to take it all the way. Their season ends early. I was just talking to Coach Keesaw about that.
Have you seen their soccer facility out there, how nice that field is?
Yeah.
Putting green lawn.
Yeah, especially since it used to be. Yeah. I've watched the transformation of that from the old days to where it is today. And when you can put a product like that on the field, Coach, at least has to make you feel pretty good. Well, they're giving us some facilities, some things that we need, some tools for our success.
Well, I think it helped 2 years ago when both Eric and I won the state championship on the same day. And we, from that day on, we made a deal that we'd win it together every year together. Yeah. And he lied to me. He broke the deal, won it this year without me. But we're still friends, so we're okay.
No question. Oliver Jamon in the house. And, of course, you've done such a great job with Fresno City women's soccer. When you come around, Matt, when he comes, it's like all the schools, he shows up. That's Coach Jamon. You better pick it up, girls. You've turned Fresno City into a powerhouse now. But tell the people out there, because I know every kid, I told Paul, they all want to go to Alabama or USC or something. You get those girls coming in from, you know, high schools around. Right. How do you start the recruiting process with them?
Well, we spent a lot of time out at the games. I told Paul when I got here, this first day I haven't been at a high school game this week and all week last week. I usually go to 2 games a day, 3 o'clock game and 6 o'clock game, and we go all over the Central Valleys, Visalia, you know, Fresno, Clovis, Madera. We're everywhere, and I feel like it's important to be seen by the high school players and the club players. We recruit club soccer all year long, too, on the weekends. And I feel like, you know, when I got hired here 19 years ago, I got hired 2 weeks before our first practice, and I had 9 kids on that team, and I thought I was this young hotshot coach, and I learned quickly that you're only as good as your players. And the failures of my first year really motivated me to, you know, work hard on the recruiting side, because if you're going to be successful at this level, you have to work hard to recruit. And I'm proud with what we do, because we sell the kids on how well we transfer our kids to four-year schools. So it's
that what's going to be my question, Coach, is when you're out on that recruiting path, what's your main message? What's the thing that, you know, there's kids, I go here, and you just touched on that. What's the sales package? Let's say that Pagmeter's, you know, Stephanie Papagni over here, she's pretty good at,
right.
You know, At scoring goals. What's your sales pitch on Fresno City College? Why Fresno City?
Well, our whole approach with our program is we mimic what they're doing at the four-year schools, and we feel like a lot of kids go to four-year schools and are not prepared for that level, whether it's fitness, academics, and soccer. And so, you know, we've spent a lot of times going to four-year schools. We had a chance with my assistant coach, Christina Monreal, a few years ago, to go shadow UCLA for a few days. And so we've done a lot of that to kind of learn what the four-year schools are doing so we can be better prepared to help our kids get to the next level. And so I had a couple recruits I met with this morning, and that's what I told them, whether it's, you know, from fitness to academics, everything's designed on trying to better prepare them for the next level.
Smart.
And, you know, it's amazing at our level to see how many kids go away to four-year schools and come back after a semester.
Yes.
Or after a year because they went away for the wrong reason, or they weren't
homesick.
And
yeah.
So, you know, maturity helps a lot if you can come to a JC like ours and spend a couple more years trying to figure out your life. And, you know, we spent a lot of time, too, meeting with our kids to inform them about what's out there as far as their options, Division I, Division II, NAIA, Division III, and, you know, out of state. And so I feel like a lot of kids are not informed enough of
where
they can go.
Well, in the world of athletics and junior college, isn't that pretty much 99.9% of what the kids are looking for. We want to move on eventually. You've got them for 2 years, or sometimes even three, but you have the student athlete. But let's be honest, they're not there to become the greatest Fresno City College Ram necessarily. They're trying to improve themselves to get onto a four-year.
Exactly.
And at your school, you're telling us that you place a lot of kids off to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You pride yourself in that.
Yep, and you know, that's our goal, is that we tell our kids, and just like this morning meeting with recruits, our goal is to get to the Final Four every year, not so I get a raise or not so I get a pat on the back, because none of this, those things happen, but it's to give our players a bigger opportunity.
Right on.
And the years that we've gone to the Final Four, we've made it to the Final Four six times. And those years, the scholarship,
six times,
though, the opportunities have been greater than the other years.
And at that Final Four, there's a lot of colleges looking for who's the next that we're going to bring into our school here in Carolina.
For example, the year we won the state championship, that year we had three sophomores get Division I scholarships. One went to Long Beach State, one was a two-year starter here at Fresno State, and one went to University of Portland. And University of Portland, historically in women's soccer, is one of the best Division I programs ever. You know, Stanford and North Carolina.
Go Timbers, and, too. They have pro soccer up there. And,
this is a kid that was Jasmine Garibay. She's from Madera. She went to Madera South and came here for 2 years. Didn't really have any options out of high school, if you can believe that. And then played for us for 2 years and was a team captain and went on to Portland, University of Portland.
And we're talking with Oliver Jamon from Fresno City Women's Rams Soccer, and you're getting it done in the classroom. I see all these 4.0s going on.
Yeah, proud of
that's
that.
That's great.
Well, you know, I put that on Christina, my assistant coach, about 4 or 5 years ago, because I told her, you know, we're performing very well on the field. We need to perform better in the classroom. So we started making progress reports mandatory once a month. They have – our student athletes have to spend at least an hour a week in office hours with one of their instructors, because we feel like kids nowadays have a hard time communicating.
Oh.
So we make them do
your academic game plan, if you will.
And I feel like that's helped a lot with the office hours.
They didn't have that in high school, and they need it now.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they have to do mandatory study hall hours. We've also started a program with the honors program at Fresno State, because their honors students have to volunteer a certain amount of hours per semester. So they send us some students to come work with our girls, and so they have their own tutoring, which has helped a lot. And so we had 19 kids this year get over 3.0, which we're
proud
about.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, Coach, so you're on the pitch. You're in a big match. You win the match, as you've done many, many times. When that school leaves, your opponent leaves, and the family and the fans leave, the people that are in the soccer world, what do they come across? What's your identity? That's Fresno City team. They attack. Are you defensive? What's your style for the Fresno City College Women's Rams soccer team?
So when I started coaching at the JC level, I completely changed the way I coach, because I started going to the state championships my first few years. I started taking notes. What are these teams in Southern California? It was always the Southern California teams that would win. So I took notes and tried to figure out, you know, what are these teams doing to win games? And I stole a lot of what they were doing. Mm-hmm. You know, when Vance Wahlberg was at our school, I went and watched his practices, even though it's a whole different sports. I watch Ed Maddox's style, because they're similar to Vance. And I changed the way I coach. And so we high pressure. We try to put teams under, you know, constant.
Wear them down.
And, you know, we do a lot of fitness in the summertime. It's funny, because when we have recruits, that's the first thing they ask about, because we're known for our fitness.
Are you running 9 miles like Paul Keithshaw?
It's a little different, but we do go to Woodward in the summertime and run the cross-country course. Again, our fitness goes with how we play, but it's also to get them to teach them how to be fit for the next level, so they learn how to do that. We take a lot of risks offensively. We high pressure. We're a big possession team, so we usually out-possess teams, you know, 60-40, 70-30. And I feel like our biggest strength is always our defense. Like this year, we only give up 9 goals. The year we won the state championship, we gave up 6 all
year.
How
many games, 9 goals?
We had 23 regular season games plus 3 playoff games.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
We're talking with Oliver Jamon from Fresno City Rams
Real
Soccer.
Good.
So you get a superstar kid coming in, or anybody. Do you have to change them a lot? Because they've been coached since day one this way? Or how did – oh, coach, it's how I was taught when I was 11, and it's been working for me.
Yeah.
How do you handle all that?
And some kids don't handle that very well with us because we're big on discipline and teaching them good habits, you know, like being on time. And for us, being on time is, you know, 20 minutes early, so that way when we start, they're ready to go. If somebody shows up late to practice, they don't get to train that day. And so, you know, we hold them accountable, whether it's on the field or in the classroom or, you know, if they don't turn in their progress reports, those kind of things. So we don't take shortcuts in that aspect. And I feel like that's been the key to our success is we just want to teach
discipline.
How about
even on the field? Let's see, well, you know, how they play the game. Do you have to coach them all over again? Some?
Yes and no. You know, obviously the way we coach is a little bit different than, you know, what some schools might be used to. But then I think our biggest difference with us is the effort. You know, like we expect our forwards to be great defenders because we expect them to pressure. And sometimes forwards tend to be a little lazy, and so we try to kill those habits, just like we expect our defenders to really be aggressive to get in the attack. And so, you know, we just – it's kind of like what Paul said, you know, that blue-collar worker attitude. I feel like that's what our school's all about.
It just seems to me wrestling, baseball, soccer, and now even softball around here, we're really good here in the Central mm-hmm. section.
Yep.
You've got a lot of schools to go find, to look at because I'm sure there's stars all over. Division 1, Division 6.
And that's my favorite part about, you know, I told you off the air, like I when I moved to Fresno, I wasn't from Fresno. I'm actually originally from Switzerland. I grew up in Santa Clarita by Magic Mountain. So Fresno was a different world. But that's what I love about being here because we get kids from all different sorts of different backgrounds. You know, we get Clovis kids. And I had a kid a few years back from Orange Cove High School who couldn't pass the SAT. Her SAT score wasn't high enough to go to four-year school, and she never played club soccer because she couldn't afford it. Came from a single mom, and came here for 2 years and was a two-year starter at San Jose State. Got her degree, played Stanford in first round of playoffs.
Just and, green, huh? Just
yeah, and like we had a goalkeeper 1 year too from Reedley. Didn't play soccer till her sophomore year in high school. Came for us, didn't start her freshman year, and. We play four-year schools in the springtime only, so that way our kids can see what those levels are at. And that year we played Cal Poly in the spring and actually beat them 1-0, which was like watching Miracle on Ice. But she played out of her mind in that game, and she, you know, her sophomore year did amazing and went on to UC Irvine on a scholarship, wow. You know, first-generation college student. And that's what I love about Fresno. We get kids from everywhere.
Well,
love
what's
it.
Amazing to me is listening to coaches. Must be awesome to come to work and represent a sports department is unbelievably successful as they are at Fresno City College. I don't think we're talking about this enough, Nick.
Yeah.
You're talking about, of course, Tony C and the football program trying to battle and compete every year in basketball, and he said Ed Maddock, and, of course, when Vance Wahlberg was there. And then we know about Tesler and his women's basketball and the success they've had. And now soccer.
Ron Scott and Eric.
Yeah, baseball. Ron's. Yeah. Track and field,
softball's
the wrestling
on the, on the move now. Down
wrestling
there.
Yep, program off better. The charts. You've got everything you need from, like I always call it, the coaches' clinic, all within your building there. Like you said, you went to basketball practice to figure out that's.
And they're all friends, mind you.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's the fun part. Like we obviously look, we love our student athletes and we have great kids. But for me, my favorite part about my job. Is that the hallway that we're in.
Yes.
You know, I have Keesaw right down the hallway from me, Solberg right next door, Ed Maddox right across from my door, Alex, now our new women's basketball coach. Yep. And our relationships are amazing.
Well, it seems like they're all comedians.
They are.
How do they fit that all in?
The hallway's chaos, but it's a lot of fun. But then you can also see and appreciate what these coaches are doing on a daily basis. You see what time, you know, Ed Maddox gets, I think he gets to work at like 5 in the morning. And then sometimes we're there at 9, 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, I'm sure there's not a lot of instructors on our campus that are still there working and trying to recruit and so forth.
We need a Fresno City reality show. Just watch the coaches.
Yeah, we might.
Yeah, we put that on A&E. Or
that would actually be successful. I think it would.
It would definitely be good.
It would. It would be good. It'd be
interesting. Just the comedy act alone. I'm sure when Paul and Ron and Eric get going, forget it.
I miss Ron, you know, Ron, since he retired from teaching, so he's not in that hallway anymore, and I think he misses it as well because, like you said, it's...
How funny was he on Saturday night? He just puts on a show, didn't he?
He's
funny.
He is very funny.
He works the crowd.
He's not afraid to speak his mind either.
That must be special.
Yeah, that's his last dinner. He's going to help. He's going to do too.
I told Eric we should take over that dinner for soccer. I don't know if it would be successful.
We can do both. We can. That was some. We're talking with Oliver Jamon from Fresno City Women's Soccer. Now the recruiting, how's that going so far?
Knock on wood, it's going good. Yeah. You know, we lost 13 kids to graduation this year, so every year the turnaround's brutal. but you know, we work hard. We had a cut. We unfortunately, one of the toughest parts about this past season is we lost 3 kids to knee injuries. I lost 2 kids the first 20 minutes of our season. Oh, one kid broke her kneecap. The other one tore ACL. So that kind of affected our season. And then one of our starting strikers tore ACL about halfway through the season. So we're kind of plagued with the injuries. So luckily those kids are going to be back. So that's going to make a big difference. And then, you know, we're out there to find difference makers that can step in right away and help us continue our success.
So if anybody is interested in Fresno City, even in wrestling for Paul and Oliver, how do they get a hold of you guys? Because they're listening out there.
Yeah,
right
they
now.
Can go on the website. Our school website is very, you know, it's very informative, and our contact information is on there. We all have social media, too. They can go through social media. I feel like social media has helped us a lot, especially at the JC, just because I feel like a lot of people ignore us. And we've been big on that, trying to promote our program with, you know, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and whatever else there is out there.
You got to include me in everything, so I want to pump it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
But and that's I feel like that's one of the things some of the kids struggle with is the communication. They're afraid to talk to coaches, and don't be afraid to reach out to a coach or come see us, because we're always looking for players that can come in and help us out right away. And you know, over the years I've found a ton of kids that come off the streets that we didn't necessarily recruit, but they are diamond in the rough, and those are the favorite stories that we have.
Diamonds in the rough, man.
Yes.
That's, yes, sir.
There's plenty out there. You don't have to be club superstars. Just as you said, you had your two great players who came, who never played, from Orange Cove and Reed.
Exactly.
That's
beautiful. Never had the chance to play club soccer, but you know, they got a little more experience. And we talked about maturity. They got more maturity on the field and got that experience and the exposure that our program provides. And you know, another thing is it's nice when you work somewhere for so long, because I've been at City now, this is 19 years I've been there. And, you know, you start creating a lot of contacts with the four-year schools, and that's helped a lot with the recruiting process. We've made highlight videos for our kids over the years, too, that we shoot out.
I love to hear that.
Now we have Huddle that came from football, but they have Huddle for soccer, which has been life-changing for me because it makes highlight videos a lot easier, because I used to do everything on my MacBook with iMovie, and I used to spend endless nights making highlight videos. I'm a big fan of that program.
Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys
having me. Oliver Jamon from the Fresno City Rams Soccer.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you, guys.
If you want, just go online. You can see him on Twitter, on Facebook, and all the good things. Oliver Jamon. We'll take a quick break.
Yep.
Are we okay, Joe, or we just keep it going?
We got to go.
We got 3 minutes. So, Matt, we got 3 minutes. You and I are going to be heading over to Fresno, Clovis West.
Well, it was the Fresno City College Champions Tour. We just finished up with another champion coach. Congratulations, coach.
Yeah. Yep. Oliver Jamon in the house. But we got a big one tonight. You got two of the best high school coaches, Vance Wahlberg versus Adrian Wiggins. They're pretty good.
Yeah. Depth of knowledge, experience, everything you look for, with a little bit of heightened energy that brings a show every time they get on the court.
We got about 2 minutes,
love
Matt. Let's talk a little NFL, because we got two big games.
There's nothing to talk about.
Tennessee versus KC.
Nothing to talk about. Kansas City and, of course, the 49ers, with the 49ers bringing their sixth world championship.
So let's start with the first one.
San Francisco.
So Kansas City at home versus Tennessee. That's going to be a good one. I think it's going to be a closer game than people think. That's going to be a good
one. Well, I think people think it's going to be a close game because of the ability for Tennessee to ground and pound and run the rock and control the line of scrimmage and keep my homie, Patrick Mahomes, off the field.
If I hear one more guy say, well, you know, Jimmy is not, I don't know, he's not going to win a game. What do you mean he can't win a game for the 49ers? This is one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL.
Truly.
And the reason why the Niners are here, because of Jimmy G. So
truly,
he is good.
He's very good. As long as he doesn't try to do too much. In the late great words of our favorite friend and partner in this business, Ray Ocanto, don't try to do too much with it. Because Jimmy G's got all the skills to win himself a Super Bowl.
He's one of the best play-action pass quarterbacks, and he does a great job of putting that. I always like to see young quarterback watch Jimmy G this weekend.
It's almost
put the ball in the gut.
It's almost not fair that a man as good-looking as him, who happens to be a quarterback in the National Football League, shocking. How about those quarterbacks? They get it all, don't they?
We're all good-looking, Matt. What can I tell you? Most quarterbacks are good-looking. Walter even said that right there, you know. But tonight, I'm excited to see Adrian Wiggins is Clovis East T-Wolves versus Clovis West. But it's a small game tonight.
Don't sleep on the power of the Clovis East T-Wolves. They have taken everyone to the brink of destruction. They play a brand of basketball. They're seemingly in every game they play. And you look at them and you think, how are they getting it done? Well, it's coaching and it's buy-in by a great group of student-athletes who really accept the challenge, and they play hard every night.
Keep an eye on Jamal Pittman tonight. It's one of the greatest drive, dish out. He'll find an open T-Wolf if you double-team him. He goes to the rim like just as good as anyone in the state. And Adrian's son, he's going to be playing tonight. He's also good. I'm really impressed with Clovis. No height whatsoever, but either just Clovis West.
Yeah, height is a overused term in certain high schools because there's no aircraft carriers in Central Valley this year. Nobody. Yeah. There's a few 6'6", 6'7" guys. One
but they
of them
look like
just
they're
transferred
tall.
From Bullard. But we don't have height in this valley. They're fine with the height they have.
I want to thank JoJo back in the studio, Nick Anderson, Matt Johnson, of course, Paul Keesaw, and Oliver Jamon today hanging out here in the Zone. We're heading to Clovis West. We'll be on in a little while. Have a great evening. You may listen to the Zone, 940 ESPN. Your Central Section sports leader, what Matt says?
I say stay in the game tonight. Stay in it.
All right.